Well, we've been off to a wonderful start. The Lord is here. The Lord is meeting with us. The Lord is affirming his love for you and using you to do that. So, hooray. And he wants to keep doing that. He wants to use you here, and he wants to use you where you go to spread salt and light. So, good modeling for us this morning. We have been for a few months having different friends share things from their life. Can you hear me? Okay. And we have a treat for you this morning. Dear friend, Leah, is going to share. And I asked her to share about what's exciting in her life concerning the Lord right now, what's the Lord teaching her, what she's growing in the Lord. And I'm just going to pray for her because it's not her heart's desire to be a public speaker. But who knows? I didn't have that desire either yet. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the beautiful things you've done already, the work that's been done in the heavenlies on our behalf, the blessings that we've received, the freedom that we've received by faith. And, Lord, now I just thank you for the words that you're going to share through Leah to us about you. And I pray peace and no fear, right? No fear in Jesus' name, because we love her and just want to hear what God's doing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll trade places with you, and I think she can use anything. Any mic you want up there, and I'll be...
I need to hold it. Or can I? Love you, Anita.
Well, I'm amongst family and friends.
Okay. Love it. It's the hair. There's a story behind that one, too. You will hear about that. First of all, I started knowing about the church through my sister, Lynette. And I'm not sure. I know that everyone probably remembers her. April 14th. Will be 2 years that she's been gone. And she always asked me, Leah, come to church. We have a dynamic group of people that I go with. They love people. You would love them. And I was like, no, I have my own church, Lynette. Go ahead. You know, you just go. I've always followed my mom and my dad wherever they went. My mom and dad always raised us girls up in the ministry. They were good parents. They still are. When I was a little girl, I would go with my grandma, my mom's mom, and we would go on the corner downtown Billings, Montana, and we would soul witness to the prostitutes and the drug dealers and to people that were less fortunate. And my heart went out to people that needed Jesus. So I had a passion for God right then and there. And so the seed was already built in when I was raised, baptized in the tabernacle. But over the years, I grew up and kind of walked away from the Lord, went to different churches, grew up with different friends, did different things. Rebelled a lot from my parents. Being a pastor's kid, you gotta hold that motto, rebelliousness. But that's where God comes and forgives you for that. But I never really asked him to forgive me. But years had gone by. We had went to church, and the church where I had went to, the teachings were, you give tithes. They never really shared how the tithes was. Like, the seeds was, you sow the seed. They basically, I felt abused by that seed. And I never really was trained the education of how to be a part of the church. I was just a member, you know, never was asked to go to youth groups, never was involved. I felt isolated. The ingredients wasn't there. Mom and Dad, they had the abstent or the with the what do you say like they had to put on the persona of the pastors to, you know, and we had to act right, sit in the front row, be behaving, you know, for Mom and Dad. But when we went home, it was all different. You know, Mom, she had her life. You know, she went through her things, and I'm sorry to bring that up, but Dad, he worked hard. And, you know, but my sisters, they walked in their own life. But me, I just kept on remembering with my grandmother what she embedded into me. Remember to praise God, love God, always walk your faith in God. So I kept that into my soul, and it's always been there. So when Lynette had passed away, she was in the hospital, and I couldn't go up and visit her because I was pregnant. And I didn't get to see her while she was alive in the hospital because I was afraid. And I was so afraid because I was afraid that I might catch a disease or Ja'Kai might get sick or something. And when she was alive, I mean, she was still alive, I went there, and Pastor Jerry was there. And I was like, who is this guy? I mean, he looked like John the Baptist or something, you know? I mean, really, like an apostle or something, you know? I mean, that's how I described him or something. And I go, Mom, who is this guy? And she was like, well, that's the pastor. And I said, well, what's he doing? Why is he there? And he was just so soft-spoken. And I was like, well, he doesn't need to be all in our family. He doesn't need to be bothered, you know, bothering us or something like that. And Mom was like, Lynette loves him. He helps our family out so much. And, you know, she recited the prayer. I'm not sure what prayer. I think it was Psalms 91. And I guess Lynette told him that she wanted to go to Africa with him or something. And that was her mission, to go with Africa. And she couldn't go because of her illness or whatnot. But she always helped people, and she was sewing, and she wanted to decorate people's faces and do people's hairs, and she always wore hats, and she was just a fun individual. And I loved her. And she was like, she was my sister, my sissy, my best friend. And I lost the best part of me when she passed away. And so I really went into an anxiety and a depression. And I just fell apart. But God gave me Ja'Kai in replace of him, in replace of her. And I never knew that I could have a child because I had tried in a previous marriage for over years and years and years. God had blessed me with Ja'Kai, and I never looked at it like, you know, you took something away from me, and I always blame God. You took that away from me, but you gave me something. And then I was jealous because my mom always had to have Lynette. Always had to have Lynette. But then I thought, my mom needed Lynette during those times because she doesn't have him now, have her now. And she needed that time because that's the same situation that we need God now. Every day. Because without God, we're lost. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I mean, without having a child, like when I didn't have a child, I was lost. So I could see where my mom was lost now. But she always has Lynette in her heart. I have Lynette in my heart. I may not have her here, but I have her in my spirit because she's with God. And I have God now. excuse me. So, Jerry, and there's a beautiful rainbow out there, just letting you know how beautiful the rainbow. Lynette passed away off the rainbow, so I'm just sharing. And it's just coincidental that she, I'm here at the church today speaking, so she's here among us. she'd be very proud that I'm here today speaking. She'd be very amazed. and proud of me from where I became or where I've become. I've done, she never got to meet Ja'Kai, but that's okay. I mean, she watches over him when I'm not around or she sees us, you know, I know she does. But Jerry, he was in the hospital and he prayed and I got to know who he was. And I said, okay, Mom, I'm going to go to your church. I'm going to try it out and see. So then when I had Ja'Kai, you guys all opened your arms and offered me a baby shower. Thank you, by the way. That was beautiful. I never had anyone offer that. I came to church thinking, okay, I feel comfortable with my mom and dad. This is a comfort. I lost my sister, but I needed to have that comfort zone attachment with my mom and dad. With my having my mom and dad, I just became more and more and more attached to them. And I never realized how attached I became and the wrong reasons why I became attached. So then I found out when I was working that I got injured on my job and I got put on L&I and I and you guys prayed for me during that time of my transition of my job, which I appreciate, and I went back to work and then I lost that job. So I kind of took advantage of how God blessed me and then didn't bless me. I mean, not bless me and not bless me. How do I say that? I took advantage of God's blessings in a way because he opened a door for me to go back to work and I wasn't appreciative of that because I didn't utilize to seek him first by asking him, God, what should I do for the day? And this is where I'm getting into my little notes. That I have to get more serious about my walk with God. And I had to find freedom through facing the truth. Because now, I'm in a big pickle. But God has me in that pickle. And he can have me as the best sandwiches he wants because I'm his. And but to start it off is I came to the women's meeting on February 2019. And all I heard was from God, join a meeting. And my mom didn't call me that morning. I just showed up late. And I do show up late. And those are excuses because if I want something, I go to it. I can be on time. I know to be there. I show up to work on time. They pay me. So I show up on time. I know if I want something, I can do it. So, but that morning, God kept on pushing me in bed. Go to the Bible study. Go to the Bible study. Go to the Bible study. I was like, okay, God. But I have Ja'Kai. I don't want Ja'Kai crying. I don't want him running all over the church. It's a distraction. I showed up. So I made it. And I heard what God wanted me to hear. Join a meeting. Sue said, there's a lot of meetings. Just join one. That's all I heard. So guess whose group I'm in? Sue's. Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock. So that Wednesday following, and this was after Betty comes walking around and says, anybody like to do any memory verses for Sunday? And she's looking right at me. Okay. What could it hurt? So I did. And it was about the mustard seed. Yeah. So that's just the beginning about my mustard seed. So that Wednesday, I wanted to stay in bed, but God's voice just kept on getting stronger and stronger. I don't know, it was so strong. He said, get up. Take Ja'Kai to daycare. Is what I heard. About that time, it was 8:45. I went to his daycare, dropped him off, and sat in the parking lot, like I normally do, because I just will delay. And God said, go to the Bible study today, Leah. I told you. I didn't know if it was at 10. I did know it was at 10. It was my excuse, because my mind, my flesh was telling me, you're excusing yourself. Just like, you know church is at 10. Why do you rise at 10:30? You know you can get there. You know you can. Your mom called you at 7 today. Why did you get here at 9? 9:15. Well, the enemy wanted me to do anything impossible for me not to be here today. He worked every way possible for me not to share what God is working in me. He lost. He sure did. Because I'm winning and we're winning. I go to the Bible. Okay, so what I'm writing down is I didn't know if it was at 10:30 or 10. So God remind me, call and get the time. He is calling me on my excuses because he knows me. God knows us best. He does. He knows us best from when we're challenging him. And I'm a challenger. And because, like Marilyn says, we challenge him. And when we challenge him, he will call us on it. Oh, my goodness. He did. So God reminded me, call and get the time and let them know you're on your way. I was not even dressed to go. Excuse number two. 9:30, I called the church, and then Joan answered and asked, what time's the Bible study? And she said, 10 a.m. I said, okay, I'm coming, but I'm on my way. Could you please let Sue know? So I made it to the church at 10:15, and everyone was praying in their spaces. I came. And I don't know if it was their spaces, but they were staggered out. I quietly came in and started to pray. And then we gathered around the table, and Sue goes over last week's service, which is where I shared the blessing scripture, reading Mark 4, 26, 33. And I can read it to you if you like, just to update you. Just to share. Oh, by the way, I got an NIV, too. A new one, because it helps me understand. Because King James does not clarify the study of what it says. Yes, thank you very much. But I do have to. I'm learning the scriptures and where they are. The kids would teach me how to do Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know. Mark 4. Yeah, Ja'Kai threw my contacts somewhere this morning, so I don't know where those are. That was another thing, so you have to excuse me. But it didn't stop me. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I got a cold, too. That didn't stop me either. Four 26. Okay. Was it 26? Oh, the parable of the growing seed. So it says, he also said that this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces a grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. I don't know if I read 33. I did that morning. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them. As much as they could understand, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So, when I came that morning, the Lord told me to be there. I was able to ask the Lord to forgive me for my excuses. I am now able to repent and move on. I spend more time with him just because that one seed was planted. And now my roots are in the soil of Jesus. And he uses my tears of joy to water my seeds so that my branches will grow. And by that I mean using the Bible as my food, my shield, my guide, to stop all the bad weeds from keeping me to grow. I shared with the group that I wanted to see my branches grow with the seasons. I have learned so much that I write things down when they come to me, or just learn how to let the bad things go, or ask for forgiveness, because that's what Jesus would do. I learned that I have to become like a little child again and give it all up by having a new heart and to be more like Jesus and seek the kingdom of God daily. I have to remind myself daily that the truth says, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply Leah and Ja'Kai's needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's how I change the way I think now. The Father only speaks to those who listen, and I ask him to speak to me daily. It's a lifestyle to come before the Father God every day. I wake up in the morning, I ask God, what would you like me to do? What's on our schedule today, God? You're my job. I may not have a physical job today, but you're a virtual job, a little job, but he's my big job. He's my job. He's my provider. He knows. I have a meeting with God every single day. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the car. I listen online. If I miss something, I go back. If I need to catch something, I go back. I'm so excited to teach my parents how to go online and listen. I make sure my dad listens in the car when we go on rides. I try to set up my mom, too. My neighbors upstairs, they get to listen, too, throughout the night. But I have to know how to receive God. And it's not so much I come to church anymore for Ja'Kai to see his parents. I come here so I can receive the Lord. I can receive the blessings that God... And, you know, it's not... And I learned that I have to be transparent. And I can't just be excuses and say that I'm sorry. And when God gives something to you, you have to receive it and you can't give it back because it can hurt that person's blessings. And I'm so thankful for you. And I'm so thankful for the church that have offered their hands to me whenever you have offered your hands to me. And if I have been prideful and have given back to you, I apologize. Because I just didn't know how to accept it. And whenever... If something is on your heart for me, then share it with me. Because I'm open. I'm free. There's nothing. I'm transparent. I have nothing to hide. This is Leah. This is me. And I'm a part of this Christ. I'm part of this fellowship. I'm not the loner in the back row. I may sit in the back row because I like it. But, I mean, I enjoy every part of your smiling faces. I may not know anyone, some of your names, or I may know them and I forget them. But, Ja'Kai, I know he likes every single one of you. But yeah, that, I mean, and I read my Proverbs daily. I haven't read it today. I could share it with you today if you want, but I don't know. But I read my Jesus is Calling, and I write my scriptures out, and I do a lot. But I just want to say thank you for letting me share today and join a meeting. They're very... They help. All right. Thanks.
You did good. It's hot up here.
I think of being in a hot spot with God.
He has you in a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Leah. I had this funny sense when she was talking that people are going to start getting nervous when I say, I have a thought. That ran the other way. But I think God wants us to know each other better and to understand where we're coming from. And it's not easy to be vulnerable and share, but it's important. And being in a small group, God told us as leaders to pray every woman in this church into a small group. And this is kind of an example of why. We can be churchgoers. We can slide in the door and slide out and never know anyone and be not engaged with the sermon or not have a place to ask questions, not have a place to say, I don't understand what you're talking about. And on Sunday mornings, it's a little difficult to do that. But in a small group, you can be honest and say, I listened to the sermon, but I didn't understand it. And often someone else will say, I didn't either. And someone will say, oh, well, listen to what I got out of it. And that's where it starts. So thank you for sharing and being part of our small group, because you're an important part. So just be, let's just find out how many of you right now are in a small group. That's a pretty good number. We're praying for everyone to be in a small group. And God is showing us ways to think out of the box about that. So some small groups are kind of traditional, and some are very untraditional, and some small groups are two people. So don't be nervous, and if you don't have one, talk to me, talk to Caitlin, talk to any of the women's leaders and say, I need a small group, and this is what I need. I need this night, or I need this day, and we will help make it happen. Okay. So, good.
That is, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty spirit and His grace. I say that every morning at home. And I felt like it certainly is.
Wonderful. Well, I believe that. We've been praying for it, and God has answered that prayer. Sometimes I hear people say, God showed up, and I think that's not really accurate, because it's more that we showed up. God is here with us. And if we show up and want Him and want to hear from Him, He wants it more than we do. So thank you. All right. I have had some fun things that I wanted to share with you. There we come. Am I pointing at the wrong thing? There we go. Morning miracle. Okay. I don't know if this is new to me, but I was reading something on NBC News, and there is a book. And I'm not promoting the book, but it got me thinking, and the Lord and I laughed with each other. And this book, I'm going to even read the press release about it, because it's so interesting, and it's going to move us into something else. The Morning Miracle, this book is called, The Not-So-Obvious Secret Guaranteed to Transform Your Life.
Yes!
Before 8 a.m.
Before 8 a.m.
It is one of the highest rated books on Amazon. Please don't say, I'm not wanting you to get this book. So don't be taking notes and saying, I'm going to get that book. I have other plans for you. It's one of the highest rated books on Amazon, with over 2,500 five-star reviews. And it's being widely regarded as one of the most life-changing books ever written. Endorsed and practiced by everyone from world-renowned influencers, including, and I don't know any of these people, Robert Kiyosaki, James Altucher, Pat Flynn, Brian Johnson, Gail Goodwin, and more, to entrepreneurs, CEOs, millennials, stay-at-home moms, and people from all walks of life. But what began as a book has become an international movement, translated into 27 languages and transforming hundreds of thousands of lives around the world. And it just may be the simplest, most effective way to create the life you've always wanted, and faster than you ever thought possible. Do you think this description is over? Or does it make you think of a different book? The book that is the most effective way to create the life you've always wanted? Okay. Based on the premise that how you start your day largely determines the quality of your day, your work, and your life, the Miracle Morning gives you the ultimate morning ritual and teaches night owls how to beat the snooze button, even if you've never been a morning person. What's now being practiced by hundreds of thousands of people around the world could literally be the simplest approach to creating the life you've always wanted. It's been right there in front of us, for this book has finally brought it to life. Are you ready? The next chapter of your life, the most extraordinary life you've ever imagined, is about to begin. It's time to wake up to your full potential. And I just kind of want to go, because it's not true. It does describe God's word. What was interesting to me, and I couldn't let it go, and God gave me what I was going to say today because of it, because what he says is almost true. His ideas are almost the truth. It's, on one hand, it's a bit like the angel or the enemy who masquerades as an angel of light. It's also because God created man in his image, and I believe he gives us great ideas, great thinking. But if we don't know him, it's just off enough to be a problem. So I'm going to use his thinking to tell you that how it should be, just a little bit of a twist, just a little bit, and it will be God's word. So he has this acronym, and it's not everything you need to know about what he's saying, and it's not everything you need to know about what God would say for the same thing, but it's a good start. And he's talking about your morning and the best way to spend your morning with his book. God would say, that's almost right, but the best way to spend your morning is with my book, and then the promises that he gives will be true. So savers, okay, so now you can look at the paper that's on your table. There is a two-sided piece of paper, and the first page should start with morning. Thank you. Miracle morning. This is, I'm going to give you verses to tell you the way it should be. He talks about savers, and he gives us what those savers are. And you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute when I... Okay. The S in savers for him is silence. And he goes on, I haven't read the whole book, and I'm not going to read the whole book, but I read enough to know that silence for him is literally silence. And there's a lot in meditation, Eastern meditation, that's to open your mind, clear it all out, and just be open. That's good if you are taking in the Holy Spirit, if you are taking in God's word, if you are taking in what God says to you. If you're open to other things, you're going to get the enemy. So he just talks about silence. But the thing is, people have responded to this and have noticed great things, and they speak amazingly flowery about this, but it's just enough to get them off track. We need silence in the mornings, and I'm glad he said how important it is in the morning, because as Christians, we are quick to say, I'm not a morning person. If we follow his thinking, which I think is exactly right, it will change your life. Silence means, for us, just be quiet and let God talk. Let God speak to you through his word and through however he wants to speak to you. So in the morning, that's what we're going to do. And our verses are, here's a challenge. Homework, right, Leah?
Yeah.
Leah is such a good student. When I give homework, she does it. I want you to find more scriptures about the morning and why the morning is important to God. And there's just three here. Psalm 5:3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Psalm 119:147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 90:14, satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love. Do you see what we miss when we're not a morning person? When we say, oh man, I wish I had time. I hear this every day of my life from a believer. I wish I had time to spend with the Lord. I just don't have time. I'm going to one day, maybe when I'm old. Don't wait. Don't wait. They also, I'm getting a little brave in my old age, too, because I'll say, well, tell me about your day. What do you do? Do you watch TV? Well, not too much. I just have this show and this show and this show and this show that I can't miss, and then sometimes I watch this and this and this if I have time. I'm not kidding you. I'm not even exaggerating. Or, well, what do you read? Oh, yes. I read People magazine. I read Us magazine. I have a favorite author. I read, and okay. But you don't have time for God's word? Well, what is that called?
What?
Excuses?
Excuses, yeah. Excuse me.
Okay. What I want you to do is just stop for a couple minutes. Who, me?
I've got excuses.
Yes, she's moved on.
She has moved on. They're not existing.
May we all move on. Okay. At your tables, just talk for a minute about what you think about mourning. And you can be vulnerable if you want, but feel free not to be. But just share amongst yourselves. If mourning is a wonderful time for you with the Lord, share. Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, can I pull you back? I promise you'll have more time to share. And you can even include this with your neck when we talk about silence in the morning. But let's talk about these scriptures. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 4:4, "In your anger..." This is interesting to me. "In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Job 6:4, "Teach me and I will be silent. Make me understand how I've gone astray." In Isaiah 30, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it." Have none of what? Quietness and trust? Repentance and rest. What I'd like you to do for just 2 minutes is be quiet, be silent, but ask the Lord what Job 6:4 said. "Teach me and I will be silent. Make me understand how I have gone astray." What we have experienced in our small group on Wednesdays and what I know about my best friend, the Lord, when I ask him to show me where I've gone astray or what is standing in the way, he will tell me. But he loves me. And he doesn't overwhelm me. And he usually tells me one thing. It doesn't mean that's the only thing. And I know he'll tell me the next thing later. But he wants me to grab hold of that and not be okay with it. Not give excuses for it. Not say, "That's who I am. I wish I wasn't this, but that's who I am. That's why I can't do that. That's why I can't do that. That's why I don't do that. This is who I am." It's not. God says that is not who you are. So, close your eyes and pray Job 6 or something like it. "Teach me and I'll be silent. Make me understand how I've gone astray." Write down whatever thing the Lord writes, gives you, puts on your heart. And when you've asked the Lord and he's revealed something to you, then do something about that and pray something like this. And pray with me. "Lord, I thank you for revealing what you just told me. And I confess that that is true. I ask your forgiveness. Lord, show me how to do that differently or not at all. I know, Lord, that apart from you, I can't do it. But I can do it. I can do all things because you strengthen me. So, Lord, I choose to not do what you just revealed to me anymore. And I ask your Holy Spirit to enable that. Give me the strength. Tap me on the shoulder when I start to do it. And just remind me that's not okay. Lord, I want to be more like you. And thank you for showing me that this is something that will help that to happen. In Jesus' name. Amen." Somehow in this gentleman's book, the idea that being silent is cleansing and refreshing is just incomplete because there's nothing there that acknowledges anything. There's nothing that says, I'm sorry for that. There's no chance to be cleansed. There's no thought that I could even be cleansed from that. But there's enough truth that just being silent, people love that peace in the morning. In the, there was a person giving a review and saying, oh, I just feel so much better. I'm just totally quiet and I feel so much better. Well, part of that is because of our incessant talking and the incessant noise and the input. So I understand that. But silence with the Lord is a million times better. So talk at your table just for a minute. Anything that the Lord, that you'd like to share that the Lord gave you, you don't have to, but if you want to share something or just how silence is important with you and the Lord in your morning time. To our affirmation and visualization. Affirmation and visualization in the world are very different. And I'm not even going to go there very much with their affirmation and visualization was very, secular, very worldly, very fleshly, but it made them feel good. Affirming things, they could be what God has said, but they could be like, I dress well, and I always drive a nice car, and I'm going to have a better car, and
I feel powerful, yes.
Well, I do feel powerful today. I have the Holy Spirit. That's different. I am. Can it? Do I need to go this way more so I can be by Frida?
Or actually, the best solution is that just closer to the face.
Okay. Is that better? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, I'll try. Okay. Declaration in God's scheme is affirming His word as truth. And when we affirm it, when we declare it or say it out loud, it's our sword of the Spirit. So that's different than saying, you know, I'm just a good person. I'm a nice person. I'm a whatever kind of person. I'm a thrifty person. But God says about me is truth. And I just wrote Philippians 4:13 because that's one I love to declare. And when we declare it, not only do we declare the truth and agree with God, but the other part of the heavenlies, enemy, and the demonic realm hear it too. If we resist the devil, he will flee. So part of our weaponry is declaring God's truth. And one of them is, stop lying to me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Satan is always saying, oh boy, you're not a morning person. Yes, I am. I can do all things. And I've shared that testimony with you before. I would have declared that I'm not a morning person. And it's true without the Holy Spirit, but with the Holy Spirit, and when I asked Him to make me a morning person, maybe I should have said, make me who you designed me to be, not the way I wanted to be. He started waking me up a little too early, and we negotiated a little later. It was good. Visualization is the same thing. In the secular, it's different. But we picture things the Bible says are true. And this is just an example. God gave a divine promise to Moses. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be Abraham. Sorry. Just seeing if you were paying attention. And you were. 2 points for Betty. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. The divine picture from Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. God said it, he visualized it, he affirmed it, he declared it. That's God's power. So talk a little bit about affirmation and visualization from the godly standpoint. Thank you, Don. This one is interesting to me and a learning place for me, exercise. So apparently part of his miracle morning is exercise. So this is one where I'm saying, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? I'll tell you a funny story. A friend of mine who you know, but I shall not reveal names, does something called the 6-minute workout. And she does it every morning. And I said, well, 6 minutes. I work out. I go to the gym 3 times a week, usually for an hour and a half. So I said, I said, 6 minutes? Okay. So she said, here's a link. You do it. Okay, it starts out with, I don't know, 10 jumping jacks. And I think, oh, this is easy. And then it goes to planks. And you do it for so long, and then you take a breath and you do it again. And it's on the first one is on your elbows like this, and I'm just about passing away. And then I get up, and it goes to the next one. It says, now this plank you do on your side with one hand and one hand in the arm. I can't even get my body to do that. Then I listened to the next one, and it was the other way. And then the next one was something that was so much more that I thought, well, that's why 6 minutes works. Okay, so that one I thought the Lord said, this is not my plan for you. But I'm asking him, okay, I'm going to just accept this with a Berean spirit. I am not usually even thinking about exercise in the morning, but I'm just going to take this and say, Lord, is there something that you want me to do that would be good for me? And the scriptures I wanted to share with you about that are about our bodies, and that's why we would even want to exercise. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've just added for myself to this is just anything health-related, not what does this expert say, because honestly the exercise and tips that he started to give were like, well, maybe I should receive it with a Berean spirit too, but it didn't seem helpful. But God will speak to you. We are all in different places, different ends of the age spectrum, everything in between. What I see as a wonderful witness here in our body is the number of women who are doing things for their bodies and for their health. And maybe as a result of cancer, looking at, okay, what do I need to do differently? What do I need to eat differently? Maybe as a result of, I'll give you.
Diabetes,
yes.
Energy.
High cholesterol. Oh, yes. We've talked about this. High cholesterol. That's one I'm working on. I told you I go to the gym 3 times a week. I work out. My cholesterol is off the charts. So the Lord and I are talking about how to do that. What do I need to do differently? Because my doctor gave me medication. And then my dear friend gave me a book called Is Your Heart Doctor Trying to Kill You? And it's about medication that we are given to combat high cholesterol, which... I won't go into that, but scares the pajamas out of you. So there's a better way.
Can I just give a 30-second testimony?
If you'll use the mic, yes.
Or I'll speak up.
Nope, the mic.
No. Got to do it on the mic.
Otherwise, people at home can't hear. We know you were a teacher,
okay,
but...
Okay, I used to have an elliptical in my basement, but I wore it out. And it's like too much money to fix. So I got a rebounder. Those are those little trampolines. And I actually jump on those between 40 minutes to an hour every morning before I allow myself to go upstairs. They are so fun because I hang on to a dresser, you know, in front of me, a high boy. And rebounders are, well, they're great for exercise. They get your circulation moving. And they're great for your immune system and your lymphatic you know. And so, like, for cancer prevention, jump on one for 20 minutes twice a week. It's supposed to be really good for you. But, like I say, they're fun. And if you get phone calls from me somewhere between 10 and 12, you hear, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I talk on the phone, right, Linda? You hear it? I talk on the phone. I watch things on YouTube that I want to see that I don't feel like I have time, you know, to really sit and see. Just, you know, like we were talking about watching Patricia King on YouTube. Anyway, they're really fun. And you don't have to leave the trampoline when you're jumping. You just go like this, you know. And so, and I don't even get out of breath. My heart rate goes up like about, you know, from 57 up to maybe 89 or 90. You know, I can't get it. But for me, that's almost aerobic because it's going up that, you know, 30. But anyway, rebounders, cheap, $29 usually if you get them on sale.
Thank you. Well, I would second that. My dad, when he was in his late 80s, they recommended, his doctor gave him a rebounder, and he loved it. He would watch TV on the rebounder every night. So this one I'm not going to have you share right now, but I'm going to warn you, or warn is a scary word. I'm going to let you know that we're going to be talking more about bodies and health and have different friends share in the future. But today, I just want you to inquire of the Lord. Ask him one thing that he'd like to say to you about your temple. It might be about exercise, it might be about food, but it will be different. And don't be worried, I'm not going to make everyone share, but I do want you to tell him ahead of time, and this is the important part, whatever you tell me, I will do. So not what Sue tells me, not what the majority vote for, but what you tell me, I will do. One thing for you. Either exercise or, either food related or health exercise related. And while you're before you really get started, this second verse really got my attention. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. So I don't want to be the one that destroys my temple. So I'll want to see a pen ready and a paper ready to write it down, whatever he tells you. And pray something like this or with me. Lord, thank you for revealing that to me. I just, even after I gave the assignment, you spoke to my heart and told me what you want me to do in the morning. And I thank you for giving that to me. I thank you that I can do it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I promise that I'm going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. And Renee said that she'd like to share a little something on that. And then we'll zip through the last two so I won't keep you any longer from your food. Do we have this one?
Good morning. I have a gift to share that the Lord gave me. I'm diabetic, and I have to exercise. Right now, I'm having a medication deal that isn't working real well with me, so it's been more difficult for me to be able to follow through on this, but it is happening, and it's ongoing. I had a dream a number of years ago about a friend that I had been praying for, and in the dream, she was so happy, and she had gotten an exercise bike or a walking treadmill or something, and on this piece of equipment, she was able to walk in any city in the world that she wanted to walk on in the morning. I mean, this was quite a dream. And she was so excited. Her kids were so proud of her. She had lost all kinds of weight, and she was thrilled. Every morning, she'd get up, and she would do this, and she would put her computer on, and she would go on this walk or bike ride. That dream really affected me, and I'm thinking, I want one of those because I would like to see the world. So a couple years went by, and I got an exercise bike, and at first when I got on it, I couldn't get very far, like 2 minutes, and I was going, and that was just regular. We hadn't gone on a random hill or anything yet. So I decided I'm going to master this thing, and I would ride as long as I could regular, and then I'd ramp it up one notch to random hills. And I would go 2 minutes till I was gasping, and I would just go back to regular. Pretty soon, when I did that a few times, regular was easy compared to that, random hills. So pretty soon, I can just go indefinitely on regular. I can get on my bike. If I have knee problems, the lubrication gets it going, and I can just go indefinitely on just regular. So then I ramp it up to random hills. Well, what has happened is I discovered YouTube. You can go anywhere in the world on YouTube, and my television's big. And so I put my bike right in front of that television, and I put on a walk through Paris. And I get started, and pretty soon I'm not focused on what I'm doing here. I'm walking down the streets of Paris, and I'm going through things, and I'm seeing things. And I get off the bike, and I've been on it for an hour. And it's very interesting because that excitement that I felt in that dream, I'm experiencing. The computer isn't this big. It's this big, and I'm on a journey, and I can go any place in the world I want to go. I found the one with music, and that was the biggest encourager of all. So, have fun.
Good positive example. Thank you. Okay, so I will ask you how it's going. I won't make you tell me what, unless you want to share, because I think you're going to have fun things to share. The Lord wants us to do this. He wants us to be healthy so that we can accomplish His plans for us, His purpose for us. We can choose otherwise. That's His love also. He lets us choose. His love for us is so great that He doesn't make us. He doesn't drag us kicking and screaming. Sometimes it would almost be easier.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to do reading and scribing quickly because we are pretty much experts here. I'm visualizing. The verses, I won't even read all the verses, but we know how important it is to read God's word. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, the other book I've been describing says if you visualize it, you will get there. I am a prosperous, successful woman. God says, yes, but this is how you get there. It's through God's law and doing what it says and meditating on it day and night and being careful to do everything written in it. Everything written in it. That just makes me think, no wonder I'm not prosperous. Okay, I've got something to work on. But is it something that sounds good, prosperous and successful? God doesn't say, if you're my children, you will never be prosperous and successful. He gives us a route to get there. It might not be our goal. It's probably more of a, wow, thank you, Lord. I have more to share. I hope you'll take time to read those and encourage yourself. But morning time, if we do anything in the morning, we read our Bible. Not enough, and not enough to say, it's always on my lips. I meditate on it day and night. I'm careful to do everything written in it. That's my goal. Okay, and scribing, what is scribing?
Journaling.
Yay! Even the world knows that this is important. Write it down. Write it down. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new, including you. He didn't say that. I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So when you are reading God's word, and he puts one of those pens on it that highlights things for you, at least in your mind and in your heart, don't just say, oh, that was good. Write it down. God's highlighted it for you for a purpose. The commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. It's easier to use a journal. Just take a couple minutes to talk about your journey with this. Scribing, which is kind of a fun word, and reading God's word. And how, maybe this is where you would ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do differently? I do read my Bible. I do journal. What else do you want me to do? How do you want me to do something different? What would please you in this part of my journey with you? But you just asked the Lord, did he tell you something that you'd like to share? Something different, something that... Claire, I can see, but you're going to have to come up because I know you won't talk loud enough. I know you. Thank you.
So that's very short. Sometimes at the end of a work day, whatever, when I... my shortcomings are upon my mind, and I'm feeling most battled. I feel like the Lord just said, when you're feeling battled and challenged, go read what you wrote in your journal in the morning. And
yes, thank you. Thank you. Claire, I love that you shared that, because I know that's not your first love, is to get up and share. So thank you. Caitlin. Yep, you have to come up too.
This is my new partner.
Yeah. God was something in us before we knew we were going to be official partners. We started meeting together. We met as couples a few times and just wanted to be together because we have kindred spirits and love each other. So now it's official. Okay.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Okay, I'll make this quick because I'm standing in the way between us and food. But I think that reminder that, I don't know about you, but my journal can get filled with things the Lord's saying, things that are on my heart, and a whole other mix of other things in between. And so sometimes it's hard to remember, like, okay, what was that the Lord said, and what was this, all this other stuff that was going on? So perhaps to grab a separate small journal or space where you can put the things that you felt like the Lord specifically said so that you can go back and review them and find them easier amidst some of the other things that get stuck in there along the way. So,
one more.
This is huge for me. Caitlin encouraged me and it's made a huge difference. She encouraged me when I get up in the morning to, whatever my emotion is, to write about it. It can be negative, and whatever it is. And so I've been writing it. And then she said, see what the Lord wants to say about it. And it's made a huge difference. So a lot of times he comforts me, and then a lot of times he encourages me to help me work with it. But I love it because emotions, you don't pop them in. They're going to come out somewhere. And so I love it, and I thank you for letting me do that or encouraging me to do it.
Make sure your journal is always handy, because at the least likely time the Lord tells you something important, you got to write it down. So he gave me more. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me pray, and to be continued. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the things that were shared by so many today. Lord, I just think we are growing in our desire to hear from one another and in our vulnerability to share, and it makes all the difference for us. So thank you, Lord, and thank you for these beautiful women. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Thank you that we know none of us has arrived, so we all have things to learn and things to grow in. But regardless of where we are on that, Lord, we are your favorite, and you love us. That song we sang today, you love us. And Lord, I pray that you would expand our understanding, open our eyes to see how much you love us. And Lord, we just desire with our whole being to be pleasing and honoring to you. And Lord, we want to hear more from you. So I pray that you would remind us. Thank you that you don't make us do anything. But Lord, we want you to remind us about quiet time. We want you to remind us about taking care of our temple. We want you to remind us about new things that you would desire from us and for us. And I pray that you'd open our ears and open our heart and open our eyes. And Lord, as we do, your promise is that we will become more like you. And we desire that. Lord, we desire to be more like you until we go home. Thank you for this food that we're about to have and the fellowship around our food and just the joy of being together, mighty women warriors of God. In Jesus' name, amen.